Thank you for listening to this message from Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. It is our prayer that God would speak to you in a real way through His Word. To learn more about our ministry, or to connect with us, go to www.gcnaz.church or search for Community Naz on Facebook. Now, let's dive into God's Word today.
This morning, we are continuing our series, Dangerous Prayers, and I'm actually excited you're going to get to actually see what's on the screen. So I love this graphic. It's from the book itself, and it's a beautiful, beautiful graphic. But we're looking at three bold prayers that lead to transformation for any believer. Last week, we talked about the prayer found in Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24, that asks God to search us, to reveal our fears, to uncover our sin, and to lead us. This morning, we're going to look at a prayer of the Apostle Paul found in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. So if you want to turn there with me to Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 4, we're going to read from that. It says this: I speak the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Some of you might remember failing at something and it gave you a desire to get better, so that the next time you didn't fail. Dan and Courtney, Jimmy, if you were here this morning, as musicians, we can tell you that you fail a lot in music, right? Those who are athletes, you know that failure is a part of it. You've heard me say this before. Michael Jordan is famous for taking 1,000 shots every single time when he would practice in order to get better. Failure is part of learning, right? Today, as we go through this message, we are going to explore how God often uses brokenness to bring about our greatest spiritual breakthroughs. That it's actually through our brokenness that God teaches us things. Maybe you've heard it this way. Sometimes as humans, we need to be broken to actually be able to hear. When everything's going well, when everything's going swimmingly, we have a tendency to shut God out. Like, hey, you know, I'm doing fine. I don't need God. I'm doing just fine on my own. But it's through our brokenness that God brings about our greatest spiritual breakthrough. Like all of you, I don't like pain. I avoid discomfort if I can. Many of you know I have been on a journey dealing with pre-diabetes. Some of you are on that journey as well. It's not an enjoyable journey to be on. It's hard, and it requires intentional effort to control. I've recognized that I can combat this quite a bit with the Holy Spirit, but also with just some hard work and listening to the people who know more than I do. My spiritual battles are no different. Some of the most powerful moments in my faith journey have come while I was broken, when I had nothing left but God to depend on. I had a similar health journey when I was in high school. When I was a freshman in high school, I tried out for the football team. We had to have a physical, like most athletes do. And during that physical, I was 215 pounds, and I was 5'7". I was a little porkster, short and fat. By the time I was a sophomore in high school, I was 5'10", and I weighed 144 pounds. So I went from 5'7 to 5'10, and from 215 to 144. That is a significant change, obviously. And that is not because I was a workout machine or that I really tried hard to be healthy. I got sick. I got really sick, in fact. I had a complicated condition called esophageal aplasia. In layman's terms, basically my bottom half of my esophagus was the diameter of a pencil, and the upper half of my esophagus was engorged like about that wide. It was huge in my chest. and it was crowding my lungs and my heart, and I would not be able to keep food down. It was horrible. And at one point, the doctors accused me, and accused is probably a strong word, but that's how it felt. They accused me of being bulimic. They didn't believe me. I told them I'm not bulimic, but they told me that I was. In fact, they prescribed me antidepressants and thought that that would help. And sure enough, because I wasn't depressed and I wasn't bulimic, that didn't help. I didn't get any better. I got worse. I was broken. And quite honestly, I was knocking at death's door. If you don't believe me, look at these pictures. There. Yeah, that's me. I've never been that thin any other time in my life. I looked like a ghost. If you compare my face now to, well, I mean, I'm fat now, but to that, man, I look at those pictures and I still can't believe that that's me. Now, here's some irony. That picture, those pictures, were taken on April 19th of 2001. You know how I know that? Because it's got the like old pictures, you know, they had the little times date stamp on there. That was actually a week after a very significant time in my journey with my illness. I remember Thursday, April 12th, very vividly. April 12th, 2001, we were at a Passion Play performance at our church. At the end, there was this altar call. And I didn't go to the altar to find Jesus that night. I already knew Jesus. I already believed in Jesus. I went to the altar that night as a junior in high school, begging God to heal me and to bring us a doctor who would tell us what was going on with my body. And wouldn't you know it? It was only a couple weeks later that I went to the University of Chicago Hospitals, talked to a doctor named Ferguson, and Dr. Ferguson told me what I had and how he could fix it. That is a crazy God thing. But until I was ready to ask God to actually take this, and I stopped carrying it, and I stopped taking the burden on myself and saying, God, you carry this for me, nothing changed. I can't even tell you the number of doctors that my mom and dad took me to try and help me get through this condition. And it was only one after I laid it down at the altar that God made a way for me to be healed. We live in a culture that does everything it can to avoid brokenness. In Canada, they have a program called MAID, M-A-I-D. If you don't know what that stands for, it's Medical Assistance in Dying. Doctors actually help kill people who no longer want to live. I thought the Hippocratic Oath was to do no harm. Whether they have a terminal illness or they just don't want to be alive anymore, this program assists people in escaping the brokenness of this life. Isn't that disheartening to hear? That even doctors are now getting in on the game of trying to remove brokenness by just ending it all. I think as humans, we want to be strong, put together, in control. The reality is that in God's kingdom, brokenness is not something to fear. It's something that God uses. We don't have to fear our brokenness. There's no escaping brokenness in this life. We experience it. We live it. Contrary to popular belief among some, there is no utopia to be had in this life, my friends. Until Jesus returns, there will be brokenness here. That's biblical. Too many folks think they can escape it through the MAID program in Canada or through choices that they make. The reality is that while we cannot escape brokenness, we can overcome it through Jesus Christ. In the passage we read earlier, Paul expresses deep anguish over the lostness of his people. Paul is so broken that he says he'd be willing to be cut off from Christ for their sake. That is a dangerous level of compassion and surrender. Jesus also modeled this in Luke chapter 22, verse 19, if you want to turn there. Luke 22, 19. Luke 22, 19, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus was willing to have his body broken for us. He was willing to go through brokenness for us. If Jesus can overcome brokenness, then so can we. Before God can use us greatly, he often breaks us deeply in our spirit. And there are three distinct things that I think we can learn today about praying for God to break us. The title of this sermon is "Break Me." This is a difficult prayer. No one wants to pray, "God, break me." But there are three things that are important for us to understand. Number one, brokenness brings dependence. Those of us who live in the West are very independent. We rely on ourselves, right? We're not built to rely on ourselves. We're built to rely on one another and, more importantly, to God. That's how we're designed. We are interdependent, right? When we are broken, we stop relying on our own strength. Being dependent on God, contrary to, again, some popular belief, doesn't actually reveal weakness. If you have to rely on God or another human for something, that doesn't mean you're weak. It reveals strength and recognition that we need God and we need each other. God calls for a broken and contrite heart. Look what David says in Psalm 51, verse 17. "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise." My sacrifice is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart that you, God, will not despise. The Hebrew word for a broken and contrite heart here literally means a crushed heart. A crushed heart. God is looking for the humble, not the proud, who think they are strong enough to do it alone. Here's a word of advice. If you think you're strong enough to do it alone, you're also going to fail alone. How about you? I don't want to fail alone because I know failure is going to come. I'd rather have people around me to pick me up. I'd rather have my God with me to pick me up when I fall. Second thing, brokenness brings compassion. Brokenness brings compassion. Paul's pain led to a deep love for others. When we see others as God sees them, compassion arises. When we see others as people created in the Imago Dei, the image of God, we begin to love them as God loves them. When this happens, our heart will break because of their condition. And this is not just about their physical needs, although those are important and God will give you compassion for those. This is more about their spiritual condition. Your heart will begin to break for people's spiritual well-being more than anything else. This will cause you to set yourself aside to provide for their needs in any ways that you can. This is what we see in the early church found in the book of Acts. They laid their own rights, their own stuff aside for other people. The book of Acts tells us that they sold their possessions and gave to any that was in need. They sold land, property. Third thing, brokenness brings transformation. One of the amazing things about God is that He doesn't waste our pain. When we go through pain, it's not in vain. God uses it. He uses it to shape us. Look at what the Apostle Paul writes in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. There we go. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in" what? "Weakness." My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Folks, look what he says in verse 10. That is why. So all this weakness stuff is made strong. Look what he says. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Our quizzers should know this one by now. Is this a memory verse? Not quite yet. Okay, we're getting there. I don't think that most of us, when we read this scripture, we're like, yeah, you know what? I want to delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. When I feel weak, I don't feel strong. I feel weak. But that's under my own power, right? That's when I'm relying on myself and trying to get through things on my own. Our weaknesses are not made stronger by us. They're made stronger by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we allow ourselves to surrender our weaknesses to God, He makes us stronger. Isn't that counterintuitive? When we look at the world doesn't operate that way. Surrender leads to strength? That doesn't make any sense. It might not make sense to us, but it is the reality in God's kingdom. It's how His kingdom operates. I mean, think about it. Jesus went to the cross, and He died, and He laid His life down to be the victor. It's counterintuitive, right? You don't die to become a victor. You conquer with a sword, right, to be a victor. And yet, in God's kingdom, that's how He became the victor. So in the same way, for us, our weakest points can be made strong. My friends, are you willing to pray, "Lord, break me"? Are you willing to let go of control and let God use your weakness, your brokenness, and your pain for His purposes? I understand that this is a lot to take in. There is nobody that wants to look at their weaknesses. Nobody likes to look at your faults and say, "Ah, that's good. I'm glad I have that." The good news this morning is that God wants to encourage us. He wants to transform us, and He wants to use us. As I said at the beginning, God often uses our brokenness to bring about our greatest spiritual breakthroughs. If we begin to pray this dangerous prayer together as a church body, we will become a church that is not afraid to hurt and to be broken for others, to be vulnerable, and to be used by God in powerful ways. I am hopeful and expectant about what God can do through GC NAS. I believe that our best days are ahead of us. I believe God is preparing a harvest of His kingdom that we will get to participate in if we allow our hearts to break for what breaks His. And I will close with this as the worship team comes. We're going to sing one more song. When we say that phrase, and we're going to sing that in this song, "Break our hearts for what breaks yours," do you understand what breaks God's heart most? It's not even the evil in the world, although it does break His heart. What breaks God's heart the most is anyone not going to heaven.
The lost. People who are lost break God's heart. He wants everyone in eternity with Him. Every single person.
So for us, if we are to ask God to break our hearts for what breaks His, we need to be willing to allow God to break our hearts for those who need compassion, who need mercy, who need grace, and who need Jesus in their life.